world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
2,474. Is that right, Spencer? Is that show number? 2,474. And I don't know about where you guys are and what's going on. We're going to do communion. Get yourself some communion ready. I call it a show, to what this gather, whatever this thing is we do. 2,474. It's transformed my life. I mean, it is. It's like I have a job, really. I'm supposedly retired, but I get up. I'm up every morning at 5:30, and I do show prep for an hour and a half, and I'm consumed by everything that's going on. And I don't say this for a pat on the back. I'm not saying hope you appreciate it, but I appreciate you guys being out there with us. And look, you know, you do understand this, don't you? That those who are really who become the media stars, you understand somebody made them, somebody picked them. Do you understand that? And Joe Rogan's really, really good, but somebody decided that Joe Rogan was going to be popular. Somebody got behind him and promoted Joe Rogan. And you can go through any one of those great podcasters. How does that happen? How does a little clunky guy like me, how do I get promoted? How does that happen, right? And there are hundreds of us, maybe thousands of us, little podcasters out there trying to do the whole thing. And see, the one of the things that I think I'm dealing with, that we're dealing with here, is I'm after a specific audience. And that audience, for the most part, is the Christians. That's really who I'm after. But we're so divided, and Christianity has become so heavenly conscious, it's no earthly good, really, for the most part. That we're almost fringe Christianity. Fringe Christianity. Can you imagine? I used to be on the AM WRFD in Columbus, Ohio. This guy, a long time ago, JR and I were doing all that kind of stuff, right? And I was hot back then, man. I didn't know anything. And I just started a show from scratch on Tuesday nights. And then they said, hey, would you like to do Saturday morning, which is the big one? And I went to Saturday morning. I was too hot for them back then. That's how many years ago is that? And so Mike Heath said, Coach, you ought to start a podcast. We weren't even podcasts. And I started it in my, started in the den of my house. And here I am 2,474 shows later. And can I tell you the truth? The church still wants nothing to do with me. Did somebody out there say amen? They want nothing to do with me.
Amen.
Us.
Amen. Right?
And why? Why is that? Well, let me tell you. Well, I'm not going to tell you. We need you to continue to be a thorn in the flesh of your friends by promoting what we do here. Now, look, don't promote this as Coach Dave Light. Oh, you got to listen to him. No, no, no. It's a gathering. Get people to come and be part of the gathering. Not me. Don't make it Coach Dave. You got to listen to Coach Dave. No, they've had enough of that kind of stuff. Just begin to say to them, you know something? My life really, really changed when I got into this online gathering. We do it every morning. Anybody hearing what I'm saying out there? Aren't we all tired of heroes and stars? And aren't we sick of that? That's how we got in this mess that we're in. And one of the things that I hope that we do here better than any place else is we promote you and what it is that you're trying to do. Whether you believe that or not. Look, folks, if you think I'm sitting here becoming a millionaire by doing this, well, that just ain't happening. And there ain't no big business behind us promoting us, because why? As soon as they get a hold of you and they start paying you, then they control you. And that ain't never going to happen here. We survive off the $20, $25, $10 from folks like you out there. You keep us alive. So this message is so strong and so powerful, especially in the times in which we are in now, that you have to become the Johnny Appleseeds. You have to be, but not Coach Dave Live. Talk about this gathering that we have every morning where you're getting enlightened to what's going on. Don't make it about me. Am I making that clear? You guys understand that? Look, I come in here, Coach Dave Live. It's got my name on it, but Coach Dave, but I sit back and I hear stuff that Randy tells me. I hear what Craig tells me. I just go, wow, because it isn't Coach Dave Live and about what Coach Dave thinks. It's a platform for you to express. I was on with an angry citizen yesterday. Was it yesterday? I think it was, time goes so fast. The angry citizen out of Maine, talking about Paul Gosselin. Hey, Paul Gosselin, right now, how many media programs have you been on, Paul? How many of this type of thing? Who have you had the opportunity to tell your story? The police basically tried to kill you, Paul. How many programs have invited you on, Paul?
Just yesterday, Coach.
First one, right? First one. Yeah. And so there's a real control. Can I say this? Oh my goodness, I just hate to tell you the truth. Christian control. See, there are forces that control what message gets out. Now we know this. I just know this. Pick up your toes. I can be on any show anywhere as long as I don't talk about the special people. Anybody, you know who I'm talking about, those special people over on the other side of the ocean? Not allowed to mention them. Oh, no. Even in the queue. If I mention specific things, some of you run away and suck on your thumb. Yeah? Because you know what? If it ain't true, I don't want to believe it. I want to know the truth, because it's only the truth if you know it. It sets you free. We got a unique show coming in here today, folks. I want you to hang in there with us. We're going to give you a little bit of an update. It's not going to be boring from Nate down in North Carolina. I think Nate's in North Carolina. Talk about some of the tornado, hurricane, whatever that thing was that you guys have all supported, the vehicle that we got down there, what they're doing with it, just kind of an update of exactly what's going on. So bear with us. We'll do communion. I had so much stuff I want to talk about. I'll go shut up for a minute, let Joe come in here and lead us in communion. And let's not take this lightly. I hear that from people a lot. Yeah, you spend so much time on that. Oh, geez, you miss the whole point, man. Missing the whole point. We try to promote other people's work. I don't want to call it ministry, work. The work that other people are doing. Sometimes it's fringy. Sometimes, let me tell you, Sheriff Mac. You guys know Sheriff Mac? I bet I've got, I don't want to sound bad. Not constantly, over the last week, wanting to get on the show again. You guys know Sheriff Mac, the constitutional sheriffs? So there are people out there who understand what we're doing here, and they want to reach our audience. But folks, it ain't mainstream Christianity. Just sorry. It's probably not the people you go to church with. Let me shut up. Come on in there. Joe, appreciate you getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning out on the West Coast, California, which is about to sink, praise the Lord. And Joe's faithful to do it. Come on in, Joe.
Morning, Coach. Well, sometimes it doesn't feel like California. It feels a little bit more like California, what they're trying to do.
Hey, Joe, it's being exposed, though, isn't it?
This bill, AB 495, is atrocious.
Huh? It's coming, man. It's coming, and they hate it, buddy. They hate it.
Have you heard about the bill, Coach? It lets somebody without a background check, without any ID even, fill out a form and go pick up a kid at a school and without even informing their parents.
Hey, Joe. Governor Newsom is Nancy Pelosi's nephew.
Yeah, well, that's not a secret.
Well, folks, make the connection, will you? Kings of this earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. Her nephew's governor? Are you kidding me? Wow. Talk about a political machine. I'll shut up. Go ahead, Joe.
Anyway, but things are changing here. I think there's about to be some big changes.
Amen.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. The reading this morning is Romans 8, 31 to 39. But if you want to start it a few verses early at 8:28, that'd probably be a good place to, if you're doing it yourself, but not me right now. So, producer, you can keep it there. I was just making a plug for Romans 8:28 on the personal level.
Amen.
What shall we then say to these things?
Stop, Joe. That's a question, folks. You read the Bible, and when a question's up, the answer, go ahead.
If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Go back a second. I'm sorry. How many questions are there right there? Have you guys answered any one of them? What shall we say to these things? Question number one. If God be for us, who can be against us? Question number two. He that spareth his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things? Three questions. Who shall lay anything to charge the elect? Four questions. Do you ask yourself and answer those questions when you read the scriptures? Go ahead, Joe.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth?
Another question.
It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again.
No.
Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us?
Here's another question.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
By the way, I got to show this, Joe. Sorry, Joe. Sorry, Joe. Doesn't say what.
Tribulation.
Doesn't say what. Doesn't say what. It says who. And then gives you a list of things. Who, and then says tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. Who, because why? People bring these things. Who shall separate from the love of God? Who shall bring tribulation? Or who shall bring distress? Or who shall bring persecution? Or who shall bring famine? Or who shall bring nakedness? Who shall peril? Or who shall bring... You with me? I'm sorry, Joe. I just got to get it out of me, right? Hey, folks, these are people in your life that bring these things. Go ahead.
Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
In all these, see, you can't conquer if you're not in the game. You can't sit in the stands and root for the Ohio State Buckeyes and make them win. You have to be in the game to be a conqueror.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers,
well, I could preach right there,
nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature.
Somebody's got their microphone open. Mute it, please. Go ahead, Joe. It's feeding back into your own mic, Joe, they said.
Keep going.
Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Height, depth, creature, any nothing can separate us from the love.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again with gratitude in our hearts that we may be sitting or standing. In our hearts, we are on our knees now, Lord, in gratitude, in surrender, trying to understand, trying to hear your voice. For your sheep hear your voice, and we need to hear it more clearly now, Lord, in these days. But we know now from what we've just read, Lord, that we shouldn't be separated. We should be united. We should stand together, not apart. We shouldn't look at things and think, how am I different than them? More that, how can we support each other? There's so many questions, Lord. As Coach just said, but there's only one answer, and the answer is you, Lord. You are the answer to all our challenges. To all the things that chase us, or that we think that chase us, to all the things where we have fear wanting to knock at the door, to all the things where we don't know the answer, but we need to get there. I don't know how. You are the answer, Lord. We know we just aren't supposed to sit on a couch and you make it happen. We need to do our best, but we need to ask you before we do. We need to ask you before we try. We need to ask you before we dream about something and add it to our list. We need to take it to you. So, Lord, let us remember to do this in these days. To take all these things to you and to do our best as we believe we're hearing you to direct us on what and how and where and when to do it. Help us to take captive every thought and only let those take residence which are from you. All other thoughts are evicted. They have no right to remain. And so thank you, Lord, for communion. And we thank you that you have made us your ambassadors here. For we are citizens of heaven, and we are your ambassadors here. So we ask that you bless this bread and this drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for us so many years ago. And help us this day to remember to do what you would do, Lord, when we take action, when we step forward, when we speak, and when we move in a direction, let it be a direction that you would have us move. So, forgive us our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. For we understand that communion is a holy moment and we will be held accountable if our hearts are not where they should be. And we ask you to bless this bread and this drink and watch over us and all our loved ones and everyone on this show this morning or in the after plays. Keep us all safe this weekend. Help us to move closer to you. Take another layers off this onion skin we have that separates us from you, Lord. Let us be closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe. You know, I was just sitting right now thinking about, man, life can really suck, can it? Man, life can really suck. You see what people are going through, the finances. I mean, I was going to show a video this morning, the closing of the stores. There's a retail apocalypse. Amazon's come in. Basically, people aren't shopping anymore, buying. And it's going to impact us all. And there are people out there, people in the queue, people you know, who, man, they're dealing with some stuff, man. Problems with their kids, problems with their health, problems with their finances. How do you keep up financially in this culture in which we live right now when it's $6.95 to mail a hat? 68 cents for a stamp. And the financial pressure is beyond what we even know, and they're doing it on purpose. Hey, Dale, I'm calling on you right now. Michelle and I got a note this morning that Al Vasquez, you know Al?
Yes, we know.
Dale, would you pray for that right now? Our friend Al, Dale and I know him from Operation Save America, had open heart surgery, and he's a big guy. And now they find out that there's a leak. They got to go back in. There's a leak.
Yeah, he had a few major heart attacks before all this. He has several blockages that stuff. Anyway, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, it says you measure the expanses of the universe in the palm of your hands. Lord, there is nothing, Isaiah, that happens to the earth, Lord, that you are not aware of it. But, Lord, we are petitioning you to send forth your word from heaven that does not return to you void, but it accomplishes what it had gone forth, Lord, to bring forth healing into Big Al's heart, into his Lord. Body, into those veins. Close up those leaks, Father God. He's just a great man of God. Lord, I speak also to Carmen and the family to comfort them, Lord, and those who are diligently praying for him fervently. Lord, we just lift him up, Lord. We are saying, Lord, we know that you are the God that healeth thee, and by the stripes of Christ that Big Al would be healed, Lord, restored, Lord, with a quick turnaround, Father God, to marvel the doctors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Big Al is the father-in-law of Isaac. You remember Isaac Yoder, who was locked, J6, the guy who wore the Thomas Jefferson uniform and got locked into the prison. Big Al is his father-in-law. So we have a deep, deep connection to them. And it is what it is, man. It is what it is. Pray for Al. Hey, listen, I'm going to jump in here real quick because, God, I've taken 24 minutes already. Hey, Dave Allison, I got to get, folks, I want to give you a quick update here. We're an update on a lot of you have really donated to the cause down in North Carolina. It seems like forever ago that happened and floods are breaking out everywhere. It's just the disaster of the day sort of type thing. But, Dave, if you just come in and kind of introduce our guests here. Just an update of what's going, what we have done, what we've provided down there, and the fruit of it. Can you come on in, Dave?
Yeah, sure. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it's a real privilege to come in this morning and share with you. It's an amazing, really, a chain of events that happened down in North Carolina to get to where we are today and have Nate and Kristen here today is amazing. But to make the long story short, I went down, seen a big need for propane. Brother Ray was down there and ran into Nate and his wife and the wonderful work they're doing. And we left, and God made a way that they picked up and continued to carry on after we left. And they're on here. They've been down there pretty much almost since. It's almost been a year now. And it's a pleasure to have them on with us. So Nate, if you want to join us.
Hang on a second. Dave, hang on a second. Nate, I'll get you in here. Folks, I want you to make the connection here. You folks gave the Pass the Salt Ministry thousands of dollars that we put into an account down in whatever heck that town is, I forget, on account where people could go get propane. Remember, they were living in tents. We put, I don't even know how much, we put a lot of money down in there. And then Jeff Klein, we got it, Swannanoa, thank you, Ray. And then Jeff Klein, we got a box truck from Jeff Klein because they didn't have a way to be able to distribute it. And we want you to just know that you guys are behind this. It's because of you that Nate was able to get the propane, deliver the propane. Nate, come on in, brother. Tell us, as I always say here, tell us your story, but not your life story. Come on in, brother.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing? How you Good. Doing, Coach?
Good, thanks.
We want to start with thanking all of you, everybody that has supported Swannanoa in Western North Carolina, all areas of that were completely destroyed and full of devastation. You know, everything that we do out here is, you know, all glory goes to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to say thank you to all of you guys that have supported, however it was, whether it be just through prayer or financially or actually boots on the ground, everybody that had anything to do with it. You know, it's just been such a blessing for us to be a part of it. And we want to thank all of you for that.
So Nate, do me a favor. Use your coach voice, man. You got to yell on. Got to yell, Coach Dave. Pick it up a little bit more. So what's the status down there, Nate? What's going on, man?
We are having just a small technical issue. We're going to switch to Kristen Sarapak and use the computer so we don't have no feedback.
Can you all hear us?
Yeah, there you go. That's really
perfect.
Good. We love seeing you, but there you go.
Awesome. There we go.
We're getting it. So thank you, Coach, for having us. Thank you, everyone. Just as Nate had said, I'm Kristen. I'm Nate's wife. And, you know, what you guys did for Swannanoa and the outlining areas was just a blessing in and of itself with the propane and all the gifts that you guys gave. So sorry for the technical difficulties. What was your question?
Just give us a feedback on what's going on down there. What where are we?
Well, what we have been doing, I mean, obviously we've been here since day two of the storm, right? So we came out right after Hurricane Helene had hit. We were pulled out here. We saw the storm coming. We knew it was going to be a big, big event in folks' lives out here. So we were pulled out to the area. What has transpired since is, you know, there was a lot of help pumped in at the beginning. There was a lot of money pumped in at the beginning. We have seen a lot of roads that have been fixed, bridges that have been fixed. But there has been a lot missing from the standpoint of helping the actual folks build houses. So a lot of work has gone in from, you know, the nonprofits and things, not so much from the government. But where we are now is, you know, obviously we're in the warmer months. We're going to be getting into the colder months pretty soon. We're a year into this storm. If you can believe that right now, and you know, folks are still really, really struggling, still living in tents, and we're doing our best to help them, you know, get through this.
Absolutely.
You know, people. I wonder, Nate, did the government ever show up down there, Nate?
Donald Trump's the only person that's ever showed up, nobody else has ever showed up down here. And there's literally, and this is not an overstatement, There has been only one home that's been built that we're aware of, and we've been in all 17 counties, that was not built by the person who lost the home, the family that lost the home. Samaritan's Purse, we have our personal views about them, but regardless, they did build one home. Other than that, if you didn't have the money to rebuild your place, you were basically relying on the love and from fellow Americans and nonprofits. There's only been a handful of homes rebuilt. Mm. And like Chris said, there's still thousands. We've given away 72 RVs ourselves.
Well,
and
we've housed 300 people.
Yeah, over 300 tiny homes, over 300 families,
mobile homes,
that we provided housing for. Have the people
left, Nate? I mean, these people that lost their home, have they left? Where are they?
Everybody's.
Some of them have.
Most everybody's. As far as nonprofits that are here helping, or as the residents?
Residents.
Residents, Kristen and I have sent several out of here that just needed to get away. That wasn't the last one, but the one that sticks with us the most was there was a young couple in their 20s. They lost everything. They lost their home. They lost their vehicle. They lost their jobs. Both their jobs were washed away. And they had a little, how old was she? About
eight.
Mm-hmm. 8 years old.
Little girl.
And they were just stuck in this area that had become an encampment area.
In Swannanoa.
And it was just a very, very bad situation. There was a child predator that was in the same area, just a couple campers down, which, you know, you got to figure, you get all these people that lost their homes and they all get piled into one area, into campers or tiny homes or tents or whatever. And nobody's vetted. You know, whoever needs a place to stay, they're letting them come in there. And so we realized that and they just needed help out. So we actually, Kristen and I paid for them personally to go to Texas. They had a place to go to Texas. And then we supported them for the first month while they were there. And we kept their dog with us, actually, and took their dog to them 2 months later. Mm-hmm. And that one weighs heavy on our hearts. We're still very much in contact with them. They are doing good. They did recover as a family. But there is so many cases like that. We just had one that just sold his property. Another gentleman that just sold his property as well. He was in his 80s, retired veteran, lost everything. He got $40,000 for his $200,000 property from FEMA, which wasn't enough to rebuild with. So he ended up letting his property go. And it's sad. It's sad. It's really sad. There's been no government help.
Amen. How can we help, Nate?
Prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer is powerful, man. True. Prayer is powerful.
True.
And, you know, that's what keeps us going. And we've seen a lot. Kristen and I, we also, you know, I'm a swift water rescue, and Kristen is a diver. She dives as well. And we have... you know, everything that we went through in the beginning was pretty, pretty intense. We have cadaver dogs, Kristen and I do, and we also have search and rescue dogs as well. And we were very, very, very much involved with rescue and recovery in the first couple of weeks. And everything that we've seen and everything that we've been through ourselves is, it's unforgettable. It's unseeable. And prayer is what we've found that has worked the most for us. That's one way that you can support. Another way is, of course, monetarily, through Pass the Salt is a way to do it. Pass the Salt. We love you guys. Every single one of you. Thank you. you guys, literally, Kristen and I, we were struggling. We've spent in excess of $300,000 of our own personal finances for our calling from God. And we were running low when you guys started supporting. And we did our best. We've given away about $80,000 in propane total, which a large chunk of that came from you guys. And you have no idea how many thousands of people you literally assisted in helping keep alive through the winter. We had temperatures that were sub-zero temperatures right after a gnarly storm that hit that left everybody on the streets. And if it wasn't for your guys' assistance, we would have had to have stopped probably, I would say, we would have had to have slowed down to a large degree, right about the time that those sub-zero temperatures hit.
And we're right about, you know, cutting that corner and getting into winter again. You know, it's right around the corner. And you asked, what can folks do? You know, obviously there's prayer, obviously there's monetary, you know, donations and everything, but keep these folks in your mind and in your heart that this is far from over. Think about them as your neighbors and your loved ones, your extended family members that are still sleeping in tents. They're sleeping in the donated campers without heat, without plumbing, you know, toilets, showers,
food. Hotels are full, so.
You know, so keep these folks in your heart. We don't want them to be, you know, any more forgotten than they already are. There's, you know, another hurricane right, you know, yep, in our backyard right now. And, you know, we had a tropical storm Chantal come in here where it wiped out a good portion of a city called Mebane's water supply for 20,000 folks. They were within 20 hours of having no water. No. So it's far from over. And the news really, you know, when their cover stories are gone, they're gone. So, but the folks in the rural areas out here and in the 17 counties that we've been servicing are really, really still struggling. And you know, I hate to say this, but it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop.
Amen. You know, we have a saying here, Kristen, that God has more disaster than the federal government has relief.
Yeah, we've learned that. Go quick.
And so it's been an honor for us to be able to partner with you. And I just wanted just for people to come on and know that what they've done here is far greater than what they even know that they've done. Right, everybody chipping in, everybody doing, and we want to continue to be able to support you guys. Ray's got Ray's up in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Ray. Come on in, because Ray was down there, man. Ray was
down there. Nate, Kristen, we commend you for that. You're out of Arizona, right?
We are actual North Carolina residents.
Yeah, the move was so strong, we relocated.
God bless you guys. Did you notice a land grab at all taking place? A lot of people believe that this was created storm for the purpose of land grab. What do you think on that?
Well,
we're convinced of that.
We have seen it over and over and over and over again.
Give them the example.
So we know of, hundreds, literally hundreds of people that this has occurred to.
In other words, people get their houses destroyed. They know they have to rebuild. They don't know if they want to rebuild there. And somebody comes along and says, hey, we'll give you $50,000 for that lot.
No, nobody's giving nobody $50,000. What they're doing say you lost your home, you lost your wife or your husband, you lost your vehicle, you lost your tools, you lost the place of work, whatever. You lost everything in life, including family members. And what they do is you've got a $200,000 property that had your home on it. So, the government comes in and offers you, max payout of $42,500 if you lost everything, including family members. Otherwise, basically, it's a tax evaluation. It'll give you $20,000 for your $200,000 property.
We've heard that
so many times.
Yep.
And then you call. So you call and you ask FEMA for help. FEMA tells you, yes, you know what? We'll come in and we'll give you a place to stay. No. They say, we'll give you a, yes, we'll give you a trailer to stay in. And then they come out and they evaluate the land and they say, well, we can't give it to you because you're in a flood zone. And you your response is, well, how am I in a flood zone? This is a, you guys have all already announced that you were unprepared because it was a 1-in-1,000-year storm. So how, if it's only once every 1,000 years, how am I in a flood zone? And they say, well, it doesn't matter. The flood zone has changed. You're now in a flood zone. So we can't give you a trailer because ours are loaners. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do? And this has happened to several of our very, very close friends. What am I supposed to do? You know, and they say, well, your only other option is to sell. We'll give you $22,500 for your property. And you say, well, I'm not selling you my property for $22,000. There's no way. I'm not. It's the only thing I have left to my name. I'm not selling you my property for $20,000. And they say, well, have a good day then. We'll see you later. Good luck. And then they go back. They contact DCS, Department of Child Services. And they say, hey, you know what? These people are living with children in a tent on their property in a flood zone, and it is not a it's not a very good situation. So then DCS contacts you. Once DCS contacts you, they say, well, you need to get your kids into a better situation, otherwise we're going to take your kids away. And it's happened to so many people that it's undeniable. It's sad. And yes, Ray, 100%. A land grab. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cobalt, a lot of lithium, a lot of gold, but mainly the lithium and the cobalt. Mm-hmm. And you got companies like BlackRock that come in, that came in a few days prior to the storm. So why were they here? Why were they here? You got all these drones flying over North Carolina during the middle of the night. You know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. They were surveying the land. And so we have personally been stopped on several occasions. One that is pretty intense was in Yancey County. We were taking in another load. We had about $115,000 worth of vital needs, including medication and medical supplies, all kinds of stuff, enough food to feed hundreds of families for days. And we were stopped and told to asked not to drop off that load in particular there. And I asked why. And we were told from a fire station, because FEMA came in here on Wednesday. They're coming back on Friday. They seized everything, including all the generators that are in here. We can't even hand them out. They're palletizing it and shipping it out. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why, if we've put several hundred thousand dollars of relief into an area, would they palletize it and ship it out? They said, well, they're coming in to help. Well, if you're coming in to help, resources are already there. We've already put them there.
Keep in mind, this is only like a month into the storm. And it just had snowed. And it's like, and it's all private donations. It's not like
they had no reason to confiscate any of it. So the bottom line is that they did not want in that area, because of the minerals, for us or anybody for that matter, to get resources into the people up on the top of the hills, because then they won't leave. Mm-hmm. They'll stay on their land. So Walk off the roads, make it so they have to come off of their land to come down to get resources. And as soon as they did that, they jump on their land, pull a soil sample, deem their property uninhabitable and eminent domain.
Wow.
So, and that's happened to so many people. We've seen it firsthand. We've seen gunfights over it.
So somebody asked a question. Has the government taken control of children? Has that been going on?
We have not really. The state and local government have, you know, but, and this, I don't think it's so much the government. I guess it would be a governmental entity, but it would be a state governmental entity, I believe, you know, mm-hmm. child services. And yes, they have in many cases. Mm-hmm. And some probably needed that, you know, that's undeniable, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, to get a child's safety and well-being is best. And when you're putting that, when you take that into consideration, yeah, some of them probably needed to, you know, a lot of, you got to figure the stress and the everything that was weighing so heavy. If I've got my kid in the middle of it and I've got a little baby and I've lost everything, I'm pulling my hair out. Maybe I've lost a little bit of myself. Maybe I lost my spouse and I just can't get it back together. I can't pull through. Maybe I've lost my faith and I can't come out of it. Yeah. So there is some need for the governance of the children. But my personal opinion is, instead of saying that this is not a safe environment, help create a safe environment for the child. Give them some of that $1.4 yes. billion dollars that Donald Trump sent you, instead of keeping it in your corrupt pockets, and actually start dispersing it to the people.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, the scripture's still stuck on my screen. Can you get them up on my screen, a screen for me? Folks, want to interact here a little bit. Anybody have a question or anything for these wonderful people? You didn't even live there. You moved there. Is that right, brother?
We watched the storm, and you know, we knew what was coming, and we knew that it was going to be big, right? And so we're watching the news, and we're in Arizona. A day later, we don't see anything national news, and so we got pulled here. You know, God wow. pulled us here. Yeah. We packed up the truck and the dogs, and said we're doing this wow. because these folks need help.
Well, that's not exactly how it happened. Exactly how it happened was, Kristen, we prayed on it. I told her, I said, Kristen, we need to go and help. And she said, well, let's pray on it tonight. We prayed on it. The next morning, I woke up and she said, what are you doing, slacker? and I said, I just woke up. What do you mean, slacker? And she said, I've got all the clothes packed. Grab the dogs, grab your tools, and let's go. Get in the truck and let's go. And so that's what brought us out here. And we've been here ever since.
And we've, you know, we've transitioned.
2 days after the storm.
We've transitioned just as all these folks had to transition after this storm. We've lived in tents with them.
We lived in a tent for the first month at Harley Davidson.
We're in a camper right now. Yeah, we're in a fifth wheel now. More folks.
Mm-hmm. So that we can help more.
This is what you've been, these are the kind of things you've been supporting, friends. I want you to understand that, okay? Glenn, come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, Nate and Kristen, God bless you guys for everything that you're doing down there.
Thank you,
Glenn. Just a question. Help me understand. So Trump gave $1.4 billion. Did he give it to the state of North Carolina, but they're not using it to help the people down there?
Well,
fancy you asked that question.
Yeah. There's been more than that's been placed here. Farmers still haven't received any help. The economy is diving. There's new police cruisers everywhere.
Yeah, that exact round of funding that you're talking about that Trump, you know, it was half and half for housing, half for the USDA and farm and agricultural side of things. We started hearing about that, what, how many months ago?
Months ago.
And
4 or 5 months ago.
We just read in the, you know, in the news that's starting to be released. So you kind of got to think, it's been 5 months and these folks have gotten nothing and this money has been sitting in an account. This is how this is going.
Amen.
Has it been sitting in account at the federal level or at the state level?
I'm not sure. I know that there's
somebody's
a lot
level,
of
huh?
I think it's both.
I think it's both.
Yeah, I think it's at the state level now.
I think it's both. You know, and a lot of people said that. Well, you know, the federal government can't give directly to the people. They need to give to the state, and then the state needs to disperse. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case, then why did everybody get all those checks when COVID came out? That came directly from the federal government. Mm-hmm. So.
They gotta pay those employees to divvy out the money. That's kind of what's going on, right?
Probably the interest on
Let's move on here. Teresa, come on in. Teresa, quickly. Tell us your story, not your life story. Go ahead. Teresa. Jeff Klein, come on in, Jeff.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have three quick questions. I don't know if they're quick answers. Land contamination. I heard the land was contaminated and you couldn't rebuild on it. The other one is it possible to make a building for the children so CPS can come in and take them away? And what about the state and federal representatives of that area? Are they speaking up or helping at all?
Boom, go.
The answer is no, they're not. That we have witnessed. The land contamination, yes, absolutely, the land is contaminated. We've actually incurred over $2,000 in vet bills on our cadaver dogs and search and rescue dogs. They've got something called blastomycosis, which is fatal if left untreated. We had to pull our dogs out of service for a period of twice now for over a month. They got lesions all over their bodies. They're traumatized to themselves.
And this was happening with people.
This was happening with people as well. The contamination was so severe that it melts the rubber off of your boots right after it occurred. So, yes. And then about the children, we're working on so many different things. We've actually tried to come up with a safe zone for children, women and children especially, and a safe haven that we would not own, but we would govern. Set of rules and let the people themselves possess that property. There's a lot of tape that has to be cut to be able to do such a thing. And of course, the financial ability to do so, which we've spent a lot.
Jeff Klein, come on in. By the way, Jeff Klein's one responsible for that truck that's being used down there. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes. Hey, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just wondering how the truck's doing and if you're getting quick stories, tell the people what you're doing.
It's doing good. I'm sitting here looking at it out the window right now. I'd show it to you, but it's a little far away. We've got 5 acres that Kristen and I now reside on after living in a driveway for 7 months. And the truck is here. It's great. It's just such a blessing to have here.
We call it the Green Machine.
It's the Green Machine.
And it's an extension of our family now.
Yes, it is. And God bless you for it.
Amen.
Real quick, and just something we'll need to address here soon. We're going to have to figure out a game plan for that truck. Because as you know, September 30th, I'm shutting my car lot down.
Yeah.
Okay. So that truck is tagged with my dealer plate. That will be null and void. Then you get the problem with the insurance. I had to put that on the car.
Okay, so Jeff, we'll talk about that all.
I'm just letting them know so they might have some ideas.
Okay.
It's a tough one.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for what you've done. Didn't mean to touch off. We'll have to deal with that. Steve Deck.
Is there anything, hear anything about Bristol Raceway with all the supplies that were donated there? Were they being dispersed?
What was that? I'm sorry.
Bristol, Tennessee Raceway, where they were storing all the supplies. Is that stuff still operational? Is it still getting out?
We've actually sent stuff to Tennessee.
Yeah,
rather than Tennessee sending stuff here.
I would have to check into that, but as far as like this area, in the 17 counties of Western North Carolina. You know, we are redneck housing relief. You know, we haven't mentioned that so far. We have a website, redneckhousingrelief.com, but we are one of the only ones left in these 17 counties. So, and
give me that website link, okay? We're running short here. Trent, come on in.
Yeah, so how have the people, are the people just beat down, worn down, or have they come closer as a community? Are they acknowledging Jesus Christ more?
They are, a lot of them are. A lot of them have been beat down, and some of them have just given up all hope. We try to restore faith and hope every day through our efforts. But to answer your question, there, it's one of the most beautiful things that we've ever witnessed as far as people coming together. It's so redneck. It's awesome. It's and in the name of the Lord, it's redneck. And you know, it's been very, very beautiful to watch and witness a lot of it unfold in front of our eyes. But yes, there is still at the same point in time, a lot of people that are beat down.
Yeah,
very much so.
We just had one call the other day.
We just pulled one out of the woods the other day.
They had was a hammock and a tarp, and they were drinking creek water.
Man, folks, we're running short here. I just wanted, first of all, second of all, whatever. You guys rock, and I'll tell you why. It's easy to send $5. It's easy to send $100. It's easy for some people to send $500 more, right? Mm-hmm. And then say, well, bless you, Lord's work be done. Mm-hmm. But you guys to actually pick it up and go down there.
And we live it.
That's living it. That's living it out, man. They can say whatever they want to. And mm-hmm. Nate, I don't know what you do, but to hear you talk, I would be underground if I had to put that much of my, I don't have that much money. But if I were to put that much of my own money into it, and I want you to know, brother, that we'll do whatever we do to continue to support you. But the fact that you guys would lay it on the line like that is just absolutely humbling to the most of us.
Thank you. We've been, and Kristen is, thank you. She's been such a blessing as well. You know, we're just fortunate that we were able to do so. We have six children.
College age children.
And it's been a chore. We may have overstored treasures.
No, we're
not going to call it overspent. We're going to say we may have, but I don't think you can overstore treasures.
It's an investment in the kingdom, brother.
That's right.
Look at it, right? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Trent, quickly.
Coach, is this not the perfect example of a husband and wife bond through Christ? I mean, she told him to get his butt up and go and do. Amen.
Yeah, she called me a slacker.
Yeah.
Called me a slacker because I slept for a half an hour later than she did.
Well, we appreciate you guys joining us today. Here's what happens here at Coach Dave Live. We're going to go off the air here in about a minute. But we have what's called an after show. And people dialogue back and forth in the after show. You're welcome to stay. You don't have to stay. A lot of times the after show is a little bit more, whatever you want to. We just want you guys to know that we appreciate your faithfulness to do what it is the Lord has called you to do. And all of us who are watching right now realize that we planted into good ground, and we'll continue to plant into good ground because we know that we certainly know that the work isn't done down there, right?
Thank you. It is not.
And thank you all for the support. Not.
There's a lot that's mm-hmm. still needed. There's a lot. It's
government sad. Of the people, by the people, and for the people. There for you the see people. Right in front of you right now.
Right.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
That's right.
Thy neighbor. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And is that, can I ask you one question real quick,
sure.
Dave?
Sure.
Is that after show on this at the same link?
You just stay right where you are. You'll be fine.
Okay,
and we can chime in and out. We can, yep, I sure go can. Use the restroom and come back.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that.
All right, thank you.
All right, God bless you
all.
We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.